Okay, it's another big match with me, Gareth Roberts, Dan Austin, John Machen and Johnny Gibson joining me today to have a chat about this game. Usual dance, we found footage of a great Liverpool game online. So if you want, you can find that as well and watch it. And if you don't want, you can just listen to it, which apparently lots of you do and you like it, so we're doing it again. The match we're concentrating on today is from the 13th of April 1988, and it's Liverpool 5, Nottingham Forest 0. The full match is available online, but we thought 90 minutes of us talking about advertising hoardings was probably a bit much. So we're just going to do the second half. So if you find the footage, fast forward to...
48-16 it is.
48-16.
Yeah, Peter Beardsley's just walking off the pitch.
Peter Beardsley is there with his Crown Prince kit on, looking, well, like Peter Beardsley.
Like Baldrick.
So, all right, lads, well, let's do the Dan's favourite part where we press play on two laptops simultaneously. 3, 2, 1, play.
Oh, it didn't start.
John's behind already.
Yeah, we're a few seconds
there. There we go. It'll be all right. He's got the volume that end.
If you want to pause it at any point, tell me what's happening.
We're not pausing it. Okay. We'll just battle through, John.
Restyle.
We'll just battle through.
This reminds me of like things being out of sync. When we got beat 1-0 at Benfica, and I knew they were going to keep us in at the end of the match. So I went half an hour before the end of the game, went up to see the coppers at the back of the stand, and I just took a piece of paper out of my pocket and said, I've got to go to the airport, Aero Puerto. So he let me out. So I went down outside where there's all the big butty vans and all the beer. I'm standing there and I've got a bacon butty and a can of lager. I'm watching the game on this massive big flat screen telly behind the bar, and there's a commentary on. And then all of a sudden, while I'm watching, they get a free kick. All of a sudden, I see everybody in the car park go ballistic, leaping around the place, and I'm going, what the fuck? And then on the telly, the ball goes in, they score from the free kick. And I thought, what happened there? But they had the radio commentary on and the telly on, and the telly was like 5 seconds behind the radio. So what the hell's going on here? So I'm completely out of sync. But I did get a free beer off it from the fella behind the bar because I was the only one who didn't go mental. So he knew I was from Liverpool.
All right, so the Reds in this game are 2-0 up already at this point. Ray Houghton in the 18th minute. And John Aldridge in the 37th minute. But John tells me, John was there, and he tells me that the second half was better. So we'll watch the second half. If you don't know about this game, where have you been? I mean, even if you weren't around at this time, like Johnny Gibson delighted in telling us earlier, it was basically the game that the legendary Sir Tom Finney said, it was the finest exhibition I've seen in the whole time I played and watched the game. You couldn't see it better than anywhere, not even in Brazil. The moves they put together were fantastic. So it's weird to watch.
Sorry, I wasn't born.
Well, you know what I mean.
Well, there wasn't the hype around football. Or, you know, these days, every half-decent game is like one of the best games there's ever been. But back then, things were a bit more realistic and considered. So, you know, praise like that from a neutral as well.
Yeah.
It was high praise indeed. But I say neutral. Well, Tom Finney was a big fan of the club. He was a great mate of Bill Shankly's. And my mate did his degree in sports psychology about Bill Shankly, and he interviewed Tom Finney for 2 hours about Liverpool and Shankly. Look at Barnsley, skin in the mirror.
Have you got the lineups, Rob, or is there anyone for Nottingham Forest that I would recognise?
Yeah, Nigel Clough. Clough's playing for Forest. Stuart Pearce, Des Walker.
Neil Webb went on to play for United.
So this is not a bad team at all, is it, for Liverpool to play so well against?
They were a really good team.
Yeah.
They were rebuilding. It was like a cracking team.
Des Walker is the fella that Gerrard comes on and skins, isn't it, for Sheffield Wednesday for his first goal.
Is he still playing then, Walker,
Sure, him, isn't he?
Yeah, he had like a dodgy tash, didn't he, around then?
He always had a dodgy tash. Yeah, Forest were 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 5th in the league at the time. So, yeah, decent side.
Yeah.
The teams, well, Liverpool was Bruce Grobbelaar in goal, Gary Gillespie, Gary Ablett, Steve Nichol, Nigel Spachman, Alan Hansen, captain, Peter Beardsley, John Aldridge, Ray Houghton, John Barnes, and Steve McMahon. And Forrest was Steve Sutton, Steve Chettle, Stuart Pearce, Des Walker, Colin Foster, Terry Wilson, Gary Crosby, Neil Webb, Nigel Clough, Lee Glover, Brian Rice.
Please tell me all about Nigel Spackman, because that's the name that stands out on that Liverpool list.
Bit of a, like, unsung, I wouldn't say hero, but he was decent, wasn't he?
He was more than decent. Yeah. He was unspectacular, and a bit like Ronnie Whelan. And I suppose in some way, Jordan Henderson, because I don't get Jordan Henderson. I don't see what he does, but we seem to play better with him in the team. Mm. Spackman was the same. Water carrier, you know, always available for a pass, solid.
And he was a central midfielder.
You could rely on him all the time, yeah. It's just like central, defensive central midfield. And with an attacking team like that, you need someone like that. And he never let you down.
Was he not around that long then? Because I don't need his name come up much.
No, he played in the cup final.
Had a song, didn't he?
He played, I think he played for two. I don't know. I can't really remember how he didn't get, you know, didn't play in the team for much longer. Three or four seasons.
Dinner, Spackman. Genuinely the song.
It's a little thing there. I just noticed, like, got net again, knocked back to Grobler there, picking it up. When did that change?
The back pass rule.
Yeah.
This always comes up on this, doesn't
yeah.
it?
Just forget even.
I'm an expert in it now. It's after the Italian 90, isn't it? Because it was dead boring.
And every time it comes up, I have to propose my counter rule, what it should be.
Go on.
Which is, well, you see a defender, and he's got no option. Does he just hoof it into touch? Does he, or he should be allowed to play it back to his keeper. But the keeper shouldn't be able to pick it up again until it's been touched by a member of the opposition. So you can back pass once, but you can't do what some teams did to try and kill games. Just basically stand on the edge of the box and do it for 30 seconds and waste time. Because what happens is, usually the defender, under pressure, has to pass it back to the keeper. And the keeper just lumps it and it goes out for a throw-in or... Yeah. Where's the football in that?
So you're saying he should be able to pick it up once?
He should be able to pick it up at that point. And at which point, once he's played it out, he shouldn't be able to pick it up again. Well, he shouldn't be able to pick it up again from a member of his own team until the ball's been touched by the opposition.
So you can't just roll out to someone else.
Very difficult to police, though, isn't it? The referee's got to be concentrating on that all the time. Well, like, who last touched it?
I fucking hope so. He's concentrating on it, you know.
Stopping from rolling it out and then just getting it straight back again. Yeah.
Because, a well-placed back pass, it's a skill in the game. Defenders don't need to do it anymore. So... Des Walker played in this team and he was a target for us about 3 years later. There was a massive rumour he was coming. I think might have been Souness's first summer.
He went and played in Italy, didn't he?
Yeah, he went to Sampdoria, was it?
Yeah.
I can't tell you.
And, it was on. He was coming to Liverpool. And it just never happened. I think we got... Paul Stewart from Tottenham instead.
Fucking hell.
Yeah, I know. Do you know what?
Before we bought him,
I was mad for him. I thought he was a cracking player. And he's one of those players, you sign him and you think, where's it gone?
Yeah.
What's happening?
Did he score against... the only thing I can remember him doing where I thought, oh, that was all right. Did he score against QCC Lahti or something like that?
Fucking hell, we bring up QCC Lahti on every one of these shows as well. We'll have to watch that game at some point.
Both those games home and away, and I can't remember the thing about them.
6-1 at home, wasn't
you
it?
You went to the Finland away?
Yeah.
What was that like?
Finland?
I've not been, so you're going to have to be more specific.
Basically, Finland is like a massive forest with all these railway lines that just end in Helsinki, and nothing happens outside Helsinki. So...
Was that side based in Helsinki or not? I don't know who they are.
No, they're out a couple of hundred miles out of town. It's more a skiing resort. I remember there being a big ski jump there, but there was no snow. It was just green trees, green fields, and this massive ski jump. And I think football was like second or third favourite sport in the town after ice hockey and ski jumping. So they were never going to be a hotbed of football. And we nearly lost one of my mates there because he fell in love with some girl there and didn't want to come home. And literally, he was trying to get it on the plane back to Liverpool. There's Johnny Barnes.
Oh, what a chick.
The way he just dances around defenders is unbelievable in like a twinkle toes manner.
It's a bit mad, this, because...
I know, we're getting the commentary from over there.
This has no relation to what we're
watching. Should we wait about 5 seconds?
What are yous on? What time are yous on there?
I can't see.
Absolutely chaotic, this, isn't it?
I like when we do it at the start of the show. I made up we're doing it in the middle as well.
You know what? I think we should send this in for like a podcast award.
The Boris Johnson interview and podcasts.
It's just absolutely madness.
Well, let's just talk about footy.
What are we on there? What are you on? Come on, Johnny.
I can't see. That's tight. Yeah.
Right,
2 seconds
ahead. So,
I've sorted that one back.
The thing with Barnes for me is I remember sort of watching football from the mid-90s. He was a totally different player by then because he'd had that Achilles injury.
No, off tag.
So seeing him just glide with the ball like this was totally different to the Barnes I saw when he was just more of a centre mid, just spraying passes everywhere.
It's difficult to describe his action. It's more like he's not dribbling, he's just so much better balanced than anybody
so
else.
So elegant as well, he's not small either.
He doesn't seem to be like twisting and turning, he just seems to just like motor through, like, but he's got some sort of mechanism in his hips.
That goal against QPR is mad for that, isn't it? Because it doesn't look sort of possible.
No.
And you're right, it's his balance, isn't it?
Yeah, balance on his physical strength. You know, he's a big lad. Just amazing. Defenders would just bounce off him as well.
I've seen a billboard, I need to ask, what's Ian Skelly? What that is.
Scouse that.
End of the M62. the Volkswagen dealer.
Let's try and find the most Scouse one. There might be some like Helsby taxis or something. Well, apart from the little
exists, isn't it, Ian Skelly? I think I hear that on Radio City every so often.
Is that not John Leach in the Witness Car Centre?
I've heard that as well.
No, Ian Skelly's gone on it.
There's one in fucking Winsford as well, isn't there?
Boss part again. Anyway, so this is one of Liverpool's best ever performances. How good were this?
This is an award-winning podcast.
How good were this side, John?
Best, I'd say, joint best Liverpool side I've ever seen.
Joint with what?
Oh, look at Barnes there. Just motoring past people.
Like a slalom there on that ski slope.
Aldridge on the edge of the box, cuts it back. McMahon shoots. Gathered easily by the keeper. Best Liverpool team I ever saw. I'm John Mosson. That was liquid football. Did you see that? Twat. The 78-79 team was the best Liverpool team I ever saw. It was just perfect in every position, wonderfully balanced as a side, great defenders, brilliant midfield, and, you know, fabulous. Kenny Dalglish and David Johnson up front. Could only have been better maybe if Ian Rush had been in that role. But that team who just steamrolled everybody, and considering that they were all out on the piss all the time, it's amazing. You know, they averaged 2 goals a game, which when football was a bit more, I would say, evenly balanced, was an astonishing achievement. Romped the league.
What was the reason they didn't win the European Cup then?
Banned, really. North South 79-89. Yeah. 79-89. Was that the season we got tonked in Russia by what would they call Dinamo Tbilisi? Or was that the year before?
Not sure.
Well, they won it in 78. So it must have been that year.
Yeah, my maxim is that people say the European Cup's harder to win these days. I think it's easier. Beards, look at that.
That's a turn. Oh, save.
There's Peter Beardsley. I think he says something like sending the defender one way and the cop the other or something. Yeah, back in those days, you had one bad game, you were out of Europe. Yeah. These days, you go through the group stage, and you can have a couple of bad shit games and get beat at home and stuff.
Gillespie, I love the way he celebrates that.
Yeah. Like Roger Hunt, throwing an imaginary javelin.
3-0 to the Reds here.
Talk us through the replay there, Robbo, because we just went, oh, Gillespie scored. Sorry.
Yeah.
It was just a lovely little move on the left-hand side.
And then he took it in from about 7 yards, just blasted.
Into the roof of the net.
Good Gillespie, wasn't he?
Yeah. Very, very good. I've seen him naked. I've mentioned this before.
Wow. He's on him.
Impressed or what?
He's on one of the season reviews. He's on one of the season reviews, you know, where, like, my mate's got it on VHS. which is videotape for young people. And yeah, there's a season review where they haven't edited it that well.
Yeah.
And you know, like the big group bath that they all used to get involved in.
Yeah.
You can basically see Gillespie's pubes. So my mate refers to him routinely as pubes in the bath. Rather than Gary Gillespie.
Not like floating in the bath, I hope. Now, we played in that.
So, ten minutes of already on to Gary Gillespie's pubes. Sad. I wonder where we'll be by 50 minutes.
I partnered him in central defence in this charity game. And I thought we were good together. Gary Ablett's in this team as well. And I think he'd only just broken into the first team, if I'm correct. Trying to think now, 88. He would have played 86. He wasn't around 86, 87 maybe. And he got an awful lot of grief at the time. He's one of those players who had to grow into the role. Like Jamie Carragher did. A lot of people don't believe it, but Jamie Carragher's early seasons, that left back.
He was
hounded. I wrote terrible shite about him in Through the Wind and Rain. Sorry, Jamie.
Loads of people said he wasn't good enough. I remember that.
He just wasn't a fullback.
This season, by the way, there was 21 teams in the league, and Liverpool finished the season with 90 points, 9 ahead of Manchester United. Forest actually finished third. They were back on 73. But Liverpool were unbeaten at Anfield in the league, and they only conceded 9 goals.
That's the way it used to be.
Yeah.
Wait, did you say there was 21 teams in the league?
Yeah.
Why an odd number?
I haven't got an explanation for it, to be honest, mate.
should there not be 20 or 22, though? That's mad, isn't it? Why would there be 21?
Because you played 42 games. You can only play 42 games against 21 teams. Get with the programme.
That seems strange to me that they're just picking an odd number.
It's 40, isn't it? 40 games, because you don't play yourself. But anyway, there you go. Oxford United finished bottom of the league.
It's where they got Aldridge from, isn't it?
Yeah, and Houghton.
Cop looks quite full there, but it wasn't a full house. I don't think Forrest brought that many.
It was. I'll get you the number.
It was full house.
It wasn't a full house. It was, I've seen this before, 39,535.
6,000 short of a full house, which is astonishing, seeing as how we're top of the league.
Ripping it up, playing boss football.
We didn't win it this night, but I think we won it the next game or something. And we just beaten them in the semi-final of the FA Cup by Hillsborough, 2-0. So we're in the cup final, we're going for the double. And the ground's not full.
What's interesting as well about this season, Liverpool only used 23 players all season. But really, when you look at the numbers, they only really used 15, because, you know, some of the people who were on the list, you know, they got next to no appearances. So 15 players were making the vast majority of the appearances. So Nichol clocks up 40 in the league, McMahon 40 appearances in the league, Hansen 39, Barnes 38, Beardsley 38, Grobbelaar 38, Aldridge 36, Gillespie 35. So, you know, it's pretty much the same side turning out every week.
Did anything become of the lads that were barely playing?
Really playing this season, you're
the ones who just got like one or two appearances.
Paul Walsh got 8 games. Obviously, he eventually moved on. Yeah. Good player, him though.
Great player.
Moulby only got 7. Mike Hooper only got 2. Some fella called Kenny Dalglish only played 2 in the league. John Waugh, 1. Alex Watson. He was quite highly rated for a time, wasn't he? He was like expected to do well, wasn't he? And then
with the same starting 11 virtually every game, these fellas weren't getting a chance.
Yeah.
Why did Moulby have so few?
Probably injured. That would be my guess. But can you remember, John, why Moulby might not have been getting a sniff at that point?
I can't really remember. Other than to say,
was it not when he was in Nick? Could have been that.
I mean, that's a fair excuse for not turning up.
Yeah, it's not bad, is it?
I think we were turning over from that mid-80s team, the team that won the double, into a better side. So there's going to be a turnover of players. Maybe he just didn't suit the style. We're a lot quicker sort of style of football.
Only 10 players actually scored a goal as well. Yeah. All season.
Yeah, but I bet Rush still got about a million.
No, there's no Rush. No Rush there. Aldo gets 29.
Yeah, this was the season. Rush
was this is the event of season, sorry.
Yeah, Aldo gets 29. Beardsley, 18. Barnes, 17. Steve McMahon, 9.
Sorry.
Nichol gets 7. Houghton gets 7. Craig Johnston, 6. Gillespie, 4. Hanson, 1. Whelan, 1. That's it. That's your lot.
What's the total on that then in 40 games?
In the league, he scored. Bear with me. Good job, brought all this, wasn't
it? Yeah. Very well prepared.
Something to talk about in that. I've got to do maths here, lads. Score 49 at home and 38 away.
87.
Go ahead, Dan. Better than talking about the advertising ordinance. That
I've just been looking, thinking, I reckon Bic Razors is quite a scouse advertising board. Well,
there's one there with a Liverpool phone number on it. Build something, building supplies. Down there, Gale.
Do you remember Bic Razors? Like, you can still get them,
they're still knocking around.
Yeah. White with the orange guard. Make pens as well, don't they? Absolute podcast gold.
How many awards have you won, Robbo?
I tell you what, though, a shout there for an advert for Farah. Because if you didn't have Farah kicks in our school, you basically got sparked.
I wear Farah shirts, though, now. Farah, like, exists again.
I know, they sort of come back in, haven't they?
Advert there for Gyro Bank as well. You don't see that anymore, do you?
Based in Bootle, then, weren't
they? They were.
I've hardly talked about like one of the best sides that Liverpool ever had.
That's not what the people want, though, is it? The people want loads of Gyro Bank chat.
You also haven't checked me whether Roger...
No, we'll do that in a minute. I'm going to ask you that. I'm waiting for it to go a bit dead.
I genuinely remember this referee as well.
Who was it?
Do you know who it is, John? Did not recognise his Barnett then, a minute ago?
Looked like Rick Parry from the back.
It's a similar Barnett, to be fair. Roger Milford.
Roger Milford. Right, then we'll go around the room. What do we reckon? Roger Milford's dead or alive? If you know the answer, don't give it away for the rest
of
us. I don't know,
but I'm guessing alive.
You're guessing alive. Johnny, Roger Milford.
I'm going to go dead then.
Dead.
I'm alive.
Sean? I reckon he's dead. Tim, have you got any opinion on whether Roger Milford's dead or alive?
He's lying in some FIFA museum somewhere.
Anna? You're going to go with alive. Well, as Wikipedia says he is a former football referee. Oh. So I'm taking that as a good sign for him. But I'm going to click on and I'll come back to you in a few minutes.
We'll wait.
Attention builds.
Good tackle.
Great tackle, like,
ball
well
as well
in
there. Offside.
Right, I'm going to be honest, as Wikipedia is 4 sentences long, so should I just read the whole thing to you?
Go on.
Roger Milford is a former football referee. He took charge of the 1991 FA Cup final. As of 2002, he was working for the FA as an assessor. And as of October 2014, he was listed as being the senior referee coach at the Gloucestershire FA. So he's still up and about, never mind alive. Good for Roger.
I was FA,
you know.
He's in good nick, like, you know what I mean? He's obviously kept himself fit there. Well done, Roger, lad.
Well, referees then always looked about 10 or 15 years older than the players, whereas now they could pass for the players, couldn't they?
I don't know. I never looked at Phil Dawes and thought he could be playing Premier League footy.
When I was a kid, 15 years before this is a good goal.
Oh, what a ball.
I thought it was a goal. It deserved to be a goal.
It was a good move. Probably one, two.
Yeah, I just thought it was inch-perfect little passes and just open up, you know, pass between two defenders and it just opens a ton of space. Referees look like old men.
Yeah.
They were fat and bald and, you know, totally out of shape.
The game's slower then as well, though, isn't it, to now? I mean, what's your thoughts, the younger lads in the room there then on the kit at the time? Are you digging the kit and the trackie?
I remember having that shit when I was, like, a kid.
It's a great kit.
Yeah, the shorts are a bit short. Like.
Well, yeah, they were.
Especially
on Barnes.
This one is
very
shiny,
isn't
it?
On him,
the Notts Forest one's very shiny. It looks like it's made of a different material to the Liverpool one. Looks like silk.
Bring it back.
Where do you stand on Beardsley, John? Because I thought he was great, and like he's just in my head as being brilliant. And yet I've heard some other people say, "Nah, he wasn't that good."
He was brilliant.
I thought he was super.
He was absolutely fabulous. One of those players we sold far too early.
Yeah,
you know, he did a job
and so
for a good 3 or 4 years. Yeah, for a good 3 or 4 years.
I've mentioned it before, but I think it was against Derby County at home. He played one of the best passes I've ever seen.
Yeah.
Literally, like, spun on the ball, switched it 40 yards to Houghton, and Houghton just took a touch and put it in the back of the net. But he didn't even look. And I was just, you know, he must have had a look before the ball even come to him to be able to do it. It was absolutely superb.
I think it's this game and the 7-0 against Tottenham that are both spoken about as, like, the best Liverpool game ever. What do you reckon, John? Or is the 7-0 Spurs one the best Liverpool goal ever? Is it the McTier- Teddy McTier- goal? Yeah.
Best team goal.
I've always thought there should be a statue towards that goal. You know, the pose McDermott hits as the ball touches his head, with sort of he's like leaping forward. It's almost like he's diving or something. I personally think Liverpool's best ever performance was a League Cup game at Villa Park, a replay against Aston Villa. Against Arsenal at Aston Villa. And we were just untouchable. We would go down at half time, and I've never seen us murder a team better than that in my, you know, in my life. Didn't score all the goals, but Arsenal never got a touch in the second half. We absolutely destroyed them.
What was the score at full time?
2-1, I think. We should do that one day if it's on. In fact, I think it is on YouTube. League Cup game. Arsenal 1, Liverpool 2.
Okay.
At Villa Park. Just unbelievable. We had about 25,000 there, about 10,000. Yeah, so that's I think, the best performance I've ever seen Liverpool play. 7-0. Yeah, but I think that was more all the goals were great rather than a great performance. I know it sounds stupid. You take the goals out of the game and it wasn't a great, great performance. I think it's been romanticised a little bit because everybody was raving about Spurs that season because they just bought those two guys from Argentina. Ardiles and who's the other guy who scored in the cup final?
Ricky Villa.
And they were going to romp the league with these World Cup stars in. And neither of them got a touch that day.
There's an advert for Panini there. How long have them stickers existed for?
They were going when I was a kid. That was massive in our school. Remember everyone having a huge bunch of stickers with a lassie down.
They got banned in our school in the early 2000s.
But what always used to make me laugh on the stickers is, you know, you'd stand there, like, and the other lads would be going to them, and you'd
swap,
be going,
got.
Some people used to go, like, not only need, but they'd go, like, need for the set. And you go, sound? 10 of the club badges, £20. You know what I mean?
So they were blowing themselves up.
Exactly, yeah. It was like, I need John Lyle there to complete the book, do you? Yeah. Give all them then.
I was in Spain once, in Valencia, about 5-10 years ago. And on a Sunday morning, just walking down the street, saw this huge crowd of, basically men standing around, all hubble, talking to each other with stuff in their hands. And they all had Panini stickers. And these weren't kids. These were fellas in their 50s and, you know, right down to teenage kids. And you would basically just stand there, and it's like a convention almost of Panini collectors just going around trying to get the stuff you haven't got. And then further down the road, somebody else is doing it with stamps. It's just like, they're just mad for collecting stuff.
I went to like an event he did once. It must have been, I think it was 2001-02 was the season, so it must have been the summer of 02. And like they used to put events on apparently, and it was on Mount Pleasant, I remember. And you'd take your sticker book and get it signed by like a player who played for like one of the local sides, and he didn't tell you who it was. So I just turned up, and it might have been an Everton player. But they had like a little area you could go through, and everyone could stand and like swap the sticker, so you could try and finish it. And Ian Rush was there, so you could like do a penalty shootout with Ian Rush or took a pen against him and stuff like that. And then I got to like the ends of the queue, and there was like a curtain, so you couldn't quite see who it was, but I peeked around it.
Wizard of Oz.
It was a bit like that, yeah. and it was Sammy Appiah.
Was it?
It was Sammy Appiah, and I was shit myself for the whole, like, I was like 5 away from the front of the queue, and I was shit myself the whole way. But I got up and I gave him his sticker book, and he signed it for me. I was just like, nice one, Sammy.
Why was he behind the curtain, the weirdo?
I think they were trying to keep it a surprise for the kids, okay, so it wasn't like given away when you were like half an hour away from seeing the fella, sort of thing. It was boss, though.
I only ever completed one of them books, I think the 95 one. And then I remember who got them sent off. Just pay, I can't remember how much to get them sent off. Me ma did it for the 96 one, but the 95 one was my own grafting to get that one done. But then I just drew all over in the end, like drawing muzzies on all like the United players and Everton players.
I remember Mike and Evan wrote a good piece. It's worth looking up, actually. In fact, we haven't mentioned that. Like, for a generation, like, probably, like, people wondering why the fuck we still sing about We Ate Nottingham Forest.
Yeah.
And they're going, well, what? Like, we haven't played them for years. Why do we eat Nottingham Forest? And Mike wrote a piece about it. It's good to look it up. It actually ended up, like, the Nottingham Evening Post did a piece about Mike's piece, saying, you know, this is on a Liverpool really? Website. Yeah, yeah. But yeah, he explains in that about how he genuinely did really hate Nottingham Forest. And he said, he just reminded me with that story then about the paninis, that he had a panini book and like he'd like scratched out the eyes and all the Forest players and all that, because he absolutely hated. But it was like they were like, you know, the new pretenders, weren't they?
The new pretenders, they had a gobby manager.
Yeah.
So a bit like Chelsea and Mourinho when they like came through.
Yeah, but also a team that, for a period, we couldn't beat. Mm. They knocked us out of the European Cup, which was, you know, we were going for 3 in a row, and they knocked us out. I think it was the first round, the following season. 2-0 down there, 0-0 at Anfield. Then they beat us in the League Cup final, where we absolutely hammered them in the original game and the replay at Old Trafford. And we just couldn't beat them. And then I think about 3 or 4 seasons later, we knocked them out of the FA Cup, and that was like, that's like beating Man United in the cup final is now. You know, we were that elated about it. We finally put them down. I'm thinking, the way people rave about this game, I don't think it's so much for like, I almost said, sounds stupid, it's not so much about the performance, but it's about the way we actually move with the ball and play with it. We're making it look really simple. When a player turns, you know, he's got like 3 or 4 passes on. Forest are just laboring to get into the game.
When is the last time we would have played Nottingham Forest then? Because I've been watching footy since 2000 and I don't think we've ever played them since then. 18
years.
So 99.
We haven't played them for 18 years, yeah. Because I just found Mike's piece. If you want to look up Mike Nevin's piece about Forest, headline is Liverpool, : We Hate Nottingham Forest, why? And that is the one that ended up in the... in the Nottingham Union Post.
It's also got just the right amount of syllables to fit, though, in the first line of the song, though, isn't it?
Yeah.
Could be like, we hate Wickham Wanderers.
Just going back to that. That's just another goal here. I don't know when they come. Just going back to that point John made, some of the movement is just, like, it's a bit scrappy then, also, like, 3 passes would just be effortlessly just combined, right, and the movement of them all.
And the way we win the ball.
They know
the ball
where everyone's going.
You look at the way we're grafting at the back.
What were the states of the pitches like back then? So hard to tell on the footage from this one, it looks, or apart from the goal mouth.
Yeah, the goal mouth was always worn. And then there was a period, I think, early 80s, when towards the end of the season, most of the pitch would be a mud bath.
Yeah.
And then he went to places like Derby County, was notorious for it. There wasn't a blade of grass on it by, I think, October.
Yeah. What was their old ground called?
Baseball ground.
Yeah.
I found Mike's PC at an edge. Just going to want to quote this bit because it's fantastic. I cut out the 2-0 match report and put sellotape over the entire text so it would never fade. I'd already gouged out the faces of their players in my completed 77-78 Panini sticker album. I'd spent over £100 on footy cards only to deface every one of these bogus league champions. I stuck their badge over the treble 20 on my junior dartboard and got really, really good at the others. Fantastic hatred, that, isn't
it? It's commitment to hatred, though.
A lot to be said.
Hatred is the entire basis of the game, in my opinion. Mm. It's the best thing about it.
It's superb.
It's becoming apparent in this game what Spackman's role was. Just like picking the ball up and just laying it off and just starting everything going again in the centre circle.
Yeah, number 5, isn't he? Yeah.
There he goes.
Yeah, he's popping up with the ball and just laying it off, doesn't he?
Yeah, this is a goal.
Barnes does in the corner here. Oh, through the legs. Megs him. Oh, my God, that's immense.
Touchline, pulls it back.
That's it.
Great goal.
Him. Yeah, I think I've seen that before on clips, that goal. That's a phenomenal bit of skill from Barnes.
The touchline. But started, you know, magically, as I just said, it started by Spackman picking the ball up and just playing the right pass to get it going again.
It's after the nutmeg when it comes up here, when that other Forest defender slides in. It's like he just must have seen him in the corner of his eye just to take that touch to knock it wide of him, and then the cutback's perfect.
Shout out again to there being a bog roll on the pitch there as well, which, you know, we should bring that back. That should be a permanent thing. Yeah. Throwing bog rolls on the pitch, great days.
We had, when we were doing the flag days back in the 90s, the early 90s, we had one which was going to be, it was a bog roll day. And the police got wind of it, and they were just confiscating them outside the ground. So I had about 8 bog rolls down my kecks. And a couple was like, look at me. So I was like, come on, get them out. So I said, I've got the runs. Still managed to get like 2 or 3 in. But it was a derby game. We beat Everton. And at the end of the game, I stayed behind for a little bit and walked down to the front of the cop. And it was just like knee deep in toilet paper. It was absolutely brilliant. What are you thinking now? You threw one on the pitch now. You're banning order. You're 6 months, you're away. You know, you've thrown something in the near vicinity of a multi-millionaire bloody Jesse.
I remember going, and in fact, we were playing Forest. It wasn't this game, but it was one of the first matches I've been to. I went with like a few lads out of my class in school, and we were all daring each other to like shout something or have a go at like starting a song or just be do something, you know what I mean? And I remember like, someone threw a bog roll at the keeper, Steve Sutton. Yeah. And we were quite near the front. And I'm not saying it was like the height of hilarity or anything or comedy genius, but I just shouted like, Steve, wipe your ass. and he grabbed the bog roll and pretended to wipe it and lashed it in the cop. And for that moment, that second.
You just could have become a double act.
I was on top of the world, you know what I mean? I was like, that's me, mates, get on me, la, king of the cop.
I once got Frank Lampard to tell me to fuck off.
Did you? Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, I called him a fat bastard. And he turned around.
With the highs of wit.
Fuck off, Frank, you fat bastard. It was a corner down by the at the copper end of Anfield. And I used to have a seat near the front. And he was like bending down to pull his socks up and stuff. And I said, fuck off, Frank, you fat bastard. And he turned around and went like that. Or rubbed his fingers together as if to say, I'm loaded. And I just went off and was like, that all you've got? You earn more money than me, you fat. And then he just said, I'm like, fuck off. I've got to win.
Will you tell that Peter Reid story again, please?
The one in the derby?
Yeah, it doesn't half make me laugh.
That's fantastic. That, isn't it? Peter Reid told the story that in the derby, him and Steve McMahon, is it a goal? No, over the bar. Him and Steve McMahon went in for a 50-50 in the derby, absolutely clattered into each other. And both sort of semi-rolled off the pitch in the aftermath and sort of on the track, if you like, next to the Kemlin. Yeah. Peter Reid said he sort of looked up like from after this mad tackle and like everyone's leaning over like you blue shite swat, giving him loads, like you fucking Everton, Bellet, whatever, hailing all this abuse. And he said he just sort of like looking round at everyone like that focuses. And one fella giving him absolutely down the bank said, it's his fucking uncle. And he said like, he follows him after the game and goes like, well, what was all that? You're calling me all kinds there. And he was like, you're not related to me and them derbies. Yeah.
That's heightened for you. Like the Spanish Civil War, isn't it? You know? Oh, Christ. Ian Callaghan once said, hello to me, son, as he was taking a corner.
Yeah?
Yeah, I was a kid. Yes, I was only about 9.
Very polite let on, like, just
yeah. I was on a crate down from the paddock down at the cop end, standing on a milk crate with my elbows on the wall. It was tiny, and he came over to take a corner, and I just went, hello, Ian. And he went, hello, all right, son.
Boss, yeah,
you only be topped by the time Joe Strummer said, all right, mate, to me.
Liverpool have absolutely got the cigars out at the back as well, haven't they? They're just all game, well, all this half anyway. Just no problems at all, really.
A quick story about Alex. Like
yeah, get on the mic, man. Is that one on, Sean? No, get on.
Yeah, I'll come and sit here.
Get on this one, yeah.
It
was at Goodison, and it was Japan versus Brazil. It was so we went to Goodison, we got in the what's it called, the fucking end,
Gladys, Park End,
in the Gladys we were in, and the mascot came on for like whatever the game was, and he was dancing around. We made to a barrel pen, like just across the crowd, and it hit the mascot, but the goalie was also warming up. So next thing, we were only about 9 or 10, something like that. The security guard came up and grabbed me, mate, and took him downstairs, and the police got him, and he like kind of like made him feel like really bad. He said like the steward gave him a slap around the chops and called him a hooligan. And like fucking, and he had to phone his dad to come and pick him up and all that, and that was like my main experience of like someone being a cunt from the crowd. I won't name him, disgusting behaviour. I think I might have been a bitch as well.
Yeah. I love the way you got that link back to Bich at the end.
It's gone full circle.
I've never thrown anything on the pitch, I don't think. Apart from a bog roll, maybe.
The soft one was good, wasn't it?
Oh, the socks, oh, yeah. Yes. Yeah. Did that. And the Tesco bags with balloons in.
Oh, yeah, it was a classic one.
Happy Jays, eh? Happy Jays.
The best thing about that sock thing to me is Everton have got like Tim Cahill and Stephen Pienaar playing for them there. At half time, someone's had to explain to them the concept of Kirby sock robbers. These people from fucking South Africa and Australia, didn't they?
Yeah. Gary Ablett. Eventually fitted in quite nicely, but didn't start too well in the team.
I remember you mentioned Through the Wind and the Rain before. Yeah. I remember Gary Ablett got a lot of criticism in that fanzine.
Fucking hell, that's a bar at that, isn't it, on Johnston?
Absolute Ketwick.
And the long sleeves. Long sleeve shirts are always better than short sleeves.
I remember there being like a big sketch, you know, like they used to have the cartoon. There's a big sketch where, because he went to Everton, didn't he? And there was this sketch about like Kendall basically being off his head. And that was the reason he bought tablets.
Through the Winning Rain. Best fanzine has ever been.
Yeah, I've still got loads of them in ours. I absolutely loved it.
Yeah.
I always remember there's a few classics, the little sketches that have stuck with me over the years. I always remember there was one, and it was a picture. It was a picture of a bench with like an elephant sat on it, and then like a little monkey, I think it was, or something like that. And it was like, today's substitutes are Jan Mulby and Mike Marsh. And then there was another one with like a fella with like massive things on his eyes, like, and his eyes were massive. It might have been out of a clock, you know, out of Clockwork Orange, where propping up the eyelids and all that. And it was just as underneath, so sun, you thought you saw Barry Venison score.
Bless him.
I interviewed Barry Venison, he was sound.
Yeah.
Nice fella.
Good mullet.
Yeah. Had a pink suit once, didn't he? Wore a pink suit, cowboy boots, and had the massive blonde mullet.
Down the She Club, probably. Yes. He was toying with the idea of doing like a compendium of Through the Wind and Rain.
But, yeah? Be good, that.
I think it'd be great. Just getting the time to do it, you know? Plus, Steve, the editor of it, is he can't be arsed. So.
Mm.
But I will. If we do it, I'll probably do it, but just choose all my own stuff. None of it is.
Got to get Mank Watch in there. I used to enjoy that.
Yeah, the thing with that is you'd have to preface every sort of bit with like a historical piece about what was going on at the time, because a lot of it just won't make sense.
Well, oh, not great.
Lovely move. Get in. Pretty typical goal of Liverpool around that area, and very similar to the one before. Just an incisive little 1-2 into the box, the pullback, and somebody
was there. Was nothing really going on there, and then five seconds later, it was in the net.
That's it, just the one pass like that opens everything up.
Another question for you here, John. Rob Gutman is not a fan of Aldo's work.
not a fan of Aldo.
No, not really. He basically says, if you get him on it and you talk about this era, he'll just say, oh, you know, he was just in a really good side. And I'm like, but he was a good finisher, though.
Yeah.
And that's what he was in the side for. What else did you want him to do? He's always like,
Can you say, well, Ian Rush was only in a good side? He went to Juventus and, what did he score, 12, I think, in that season. Which is a good tally in Italy at the time, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
You can only be judged on what you do in the game, never mind how good the players around you were or how good the opposition was. All you can do is beat the opposition and do the best you can. And he was scoring goals like mad.
The total
for the season is 27. Okay, there might have been about 9 penalties in there, I suspect.
Finished the season on 29. 26 in the league, 2 in the FA Cup, 1 in the League Cup.
Is that Tom Saunders on the bench there with a flat tweed, flat cap on?
Oh, I missed that.
Sitting next to Ronnie Moran.
Ah, the cop's going off.
There's loads of sun on the march for Kenny's army because cup final coming up in about a month.
Yeah, I don't think we'll ever be doing that cup final on the big match.
Yeah.
Wimbledon.
There you go. 4-0 up and Kemlin already getting off. Is it 4 or 5 at this point?
5 now. 5, yeah.
Yeah. Loads of the Kemi still getting away there.
The thing I thought quite sad about this as well, some of the close, like the first touch, well, just as he's a chip first touch there, has been pretty much a marker every time, so the speed that they lay it off is the thing I've sort of picked up from this.
Yeah. They're head and shoulders above everybody in the league this time.
It's not where everyone is, don't they, when they're knocking the ball? There's not a lot of... They've got time on the ball, but they don't need it.
Yeah. And of course, there's no Dalglish in the team at this point. He's sort of wheeling himself off, you know, just playing hither and thither.
Yeah, you're ripping the camera and that last goal was the 88th minute, like. You know what I mean? They've got to beat the traffic.
That was ruthless, lad.
John Barnes up left back in the 90th minute, hacking someone down on the edge of the box. Well, in Barnesy.
Yeah, that away end is very sparsely populated.
Couldn't be harsh with Pierce, you know. He used to hate him.
What, as a footballer or his personality or what?
Ever. just did me head in.
At this
stage,
was he like playing for England and stuff? Or?
Yeah. But he was just annoying. There we go. 5-0 to the Reds.
Yeah.
Sound
that. In absolute control all the way through. Great goals.
Little pitch invasion there.
Yeah, what's that up was?
Beardsley getting a little cuddle off people in bad clobber.
Yeah.
That purple jumper with a yellow shirt underneath it was fucking powerful.
So that then is another big match. Let us know what you think because it's absolutely mad. Isn't it, to be honest. But you know, every time we do one, we get feedback from people saying they like it.
Tom Finney probably saying all the nice things. Yeah.
Saying how good it was. What a great fella. So yeah, we'll do another one again soon. If you say you want one, of course. But if you start a campaign and stand outside the Anfield Rap office with placards and, you know, burn bins and stuff like that, we'll stop doing them. That's been the big match. Thanks to everyone.